a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Senate Ag and Natural Resources will come to order. Good morning and greetings to the internet listeners and those in the audience. And please silence your cell phones if you are listening. For those of you testifying today, please make sure that you sign in over the podium so that we can get that on the record. And at this time, I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Following senators, Ewing.
Here.
Frerichs.
Here.
Lucas.
Here.
Amdahl.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
Roden.
Here.
Valley. Rampelberg.
Here.
Krebs.
Here.
There is a quorum.
Quorum is present. At this time, the chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Roden, seconded by Otten. Those in favor of the approval of minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are so approved. We have one bill on the docket this morning. For those listening, it's Senate Bill 104. It's an act to authorize the hunting of coyotes using artificial light under certain conditions. At this time, I'll open the floor for public testimony and take proponent testimony for Senate Bill 104.
Good morning, Madam Chairman. We'll get started here. My name is Senator Jason Frerichs. I'm up in the Wilmot Country, Northeast, District 1. I bring before you Senate Bill 104, and those of us on Ag Committee probably look at this and think, all right, he's running a bill again. We saw it last year. It came out of committee, but I know we had some trouble dealing with it on the Senate floor. And in working through this, obviously the overall goal is to try to have just one more tool in the toolbox for folks out there, obviously mostly the landowner perspective, so that they can take down some of these coyotes that may be giving them trouble. At the same time, it does fit into a little bit on the pheasant habitat side of things also, because obviously the more predators, whether it's coyotes and if it's varmints, skunks, raccoons that are out there, they are going to probably be grabbing some nests and anything else. So it's just one more opportunity for them anyways. But the bill I have before you, we've made a substantive change with an amendment. It's not quite a hog house. It just about could be, but because a lot of the language is in the bill already, we didn't have to go the route of the hog house. I just would call your attention to the handout. There's two handouts. If I could get one of the amendments, please. Thank you.
Do you have any more?
You can.
Yes, please. And the chair will entertain a motion for moving the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At this time, then, I'd propose that we would amend Senate Bill 104 with 104FA.
A motion to amend 104 with 104FA is shown before us. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Rampelberg. This is for discussion purposes. Thank you. Senator Frerichs, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to the senators on the Ag Committee for making this sponsor's amendment. So what you have before you on this amendment is basically says that as far as landowners, it gives them a couple of more options. One of them is that night vision would be included along with the artificial light that currently exists. And secondly, would be to increase the caliber or the size of gun that can be used to exercise the ability on artificial light and night vision. So instead of right now where it's 22 caliber, you look on page 1 of the bill, line 14, this would say that we could go up to 1750 foot-pounds, and I have a testifier, a supporter on this legislation that will give you more of the specifics, but basically 1750 it's more than 22. It's not quite full all-out deer rifle, but it does fit in the category of some that are used as deer rifles. So it's kind of a happy medium. I told the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks if they have any suggestions on a more scientific number, that'd be great. The main thing is we want folks to be able to use something bigger than a 22. At the same time, we stripped the language on the bill that would have made changes to open this up to anyone 16 years of age and older. And we kept it specific just to the landowner and a landowner with a guest. The reason for that is we realized going this route of night vision and having a little bit bigger weapon being able to be used opens it up. And at the same time, I know from my standpoint, and I can agree with Game, Fish, and Parks, we don't want this to be something that just allows the countryside to be lit up with everyone wanting to just go out and spotlight and shoot whatever. We want this to be done, obviously, the right way. And so that's where we went the route of the landowners. I will, in proponent testimony, the gentleman from Beadle County will give you a little more specifics. He's more familiar with this, but I would just say that this is for the landowner's perspective, allows night vision, and it's bigger than a 22. And I would ask for your support and look forward to the discussion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Frerichs. Further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 1044. Further proponent testimony to Senate Bill 1044. And again, just remember to introduce yourself. And then did you sign in?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, my name is Garrett Bischoff. I'm from Beadle County.
There you go. Okay. My name is Garrett Bischoff. I'm from Beadle County. We have a farm and ranching operation there. We have about 2,000 acres. We operate corn, beans, and then cattle. We've got some livestock. I guess one of the reasons that I am for this bill, livestock, when we're calving season, coyotes are becoming a big problem. It's really hard to go out there and get at them at nighttime. It seems to be the only time that they're around. We have a bull sale every year. Bulls average quite a bit of money, so if we lost one to a coyote, it'd be a shame. So we'd really want to try to get after the coyotes. A little bit about night vision. They started development of night vision back in the 1930s. There's been three generation changes of night vision. The first generation, you had to use infrared lighting to actually see anything with it. Now it's on the third generation, and you can see quite a ways with it. You can see 200, 300 yards with it without infrared lighting. So it allows you to see what's out there quite a ways. Technology has become quite affordable. Anybody can buy it now. The third generation night vision, you can buy that equipment for about $3,000 for a nice unit that you'd be able to see out there, like I said, about 300 yards. I've done some research on the states that allow night vision hunting right now. There's 34 states that allow night vision hunting based off of my research. Close to us here in the Midwest, Idaho, Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Montana, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Wyoming, all these states allow night vision hunting for coyotes. Some of them have some stipulations. Some of them say you can't use infrared night lighting. Some of them say you need a permit. All of them pretty much say you can do it with coyotes. That's what they're going after. Night vision, I feel, is a lot safer than if you're out using spotlights. Night vision's always on, so when you're hunting with it, you see what's around you. When you're out spotlighting, you're calling. You flip your light on. Is there anything there? Do you see eyes? And then you're going to shoot at it. So it allows you to acquire targets and allows you to see what's out there. I feel it's a safer hunting because of that. On the change of the calibers, 22 rimfire, it's common. Foot-pounds for those would be about 100 to 150 foot-pounds of energy coming out of a 22. An effective range on a coyote, you're going to be looking at 50 yards. Beyond that, you're probably just going to wound a coyote unless you're very accurate with it. And 22s are not a very accurate weapon, so you're going to have a hard time effectively taking a coyote past 50 yards. This change would allow for some more common calibers that people use for coyote hunting. 17 caliber, which is actually a smaller bullet, but it's a faster bullet. That would be allowed. 222, 223, a 22 250. These are all calibers that are very commonly used for coyote hunting during the daytime, and it would allow that at nighttime.
Let me interrupt.
Sorry.
Nope. Mr. Bischoff. Would you have your hand out, please? That way we have visual thing.
This printout that's coming around, it shows the different muzzle energies that are coming out of different calibers of bullets. The third column would be the muzzle energy. And basically, the bill would say it would go up to 1750. So if you look on down, there'd be some calibers of a 220 Swift or some bullets of a 220 Swift that would fall in that category. But like I said, the 22 250, the 223, 17 calibers, those are the most common coyote hunting rifles. And that's really what we were looking to get to was the common calibers that are most effectively for taking coyotes. The average height of a coyote is about 30 inches. So if you're using these calibers, and if you do have a miss, the bullet's still going to impact the ground within 100 to 200 yards past a coyote. most likely 100 yards past the coyote. So there's not going to be much of a danger that if you're missing, that it's going to travel much farther than what you're seeing. So I thank you for your time. I urge you to vote for the bill as amended. Entertain any questions if you had any.
Thank you, Mr. Bischoff. Further proponent testimony to Senate Bill 104. Further proponent testimony to Senate Bill 104. Good morning, Norb.
Good morning, Madam Chair, gentlemen, ladies, senators, but you.
Turn your mic on, I think. Yep.
Oh.
Yep. And then go ahead and just
there.
State your name.
We there. Got it again? Yeah. I'm Norb Berry. I come here representing myself. And although I am a registered lobbyist with South Dakota Opportunity Group, which is interested in non-resident waterfowl hunting, I didn't get to my board to get permission to lobby for them. I'm just lobbying for myself. I do hunting and lodging of pheasants in the northeast part of the state. And a real concern that I have is that if we can kill one coyote, we might save a dozen baby chicks of pheasants, because they are, as alluded to by Senator, that that's a huge issue for us in habitat. We know how much energy is being put into habitat protection. The governor's on top of it. He's got study groups. This is just one thing that we can do to help that. Dolan and I, our District 2, where I reside, has for the last 2 years done charity hunts, daytime only, of course, for a military or veterans nonprofit. And this will add to their ability to raise money for that issue, as well as bring little people to Dolan. They have a great steak sandwich. Okay. again, I happen to be in town on another issue, and I saw this on the board, so I'd come by and say hello. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Berry. Further proponent testimony to Senate Bill 104. Further proponent testimony to Senate Bill 104. For the proponents? For the proponents. Seeing none, I'll move to opponent testimony on Senate Bill 104. Opponent? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Emmett Kieser, Assistant Director with the Division of Wildlife at Game Fish and Parks. We were originally a opponent of the bill in original form. Obviously, the bill has been changed substantively, and we're going to continue to look at the bill and the merits. Certainly, the concerns we had with regard to sort of opening up spotlighting to many more people was of grave concern to us, and the disruption it would have caused in rural communities. We are still a bit concerned about the safety aspect of using a higher-powered big game type rifle. These are center fire rifles. Certainly aren't common deer calibers. Certainly 22 class center fire rifles are commonly used to take predators, but they do travel distances out to 2 miles, and so they are a larger caliber, and so we'll continue to look at that, and we'll work with the bill sponsor and review our position relative to those issues. So appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kieser. Further opponent testimony to Senate Bill 104. Further opponents? Further opponents.
Good morning, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jerry Wilson. I live in Clay County. My wife and I own a little less than a quarter section of native prairie woods and water, very sort of special property in the midst of lots of corn and beans. This land is in a conservation easement, and we are actively involved in enhancing the conservation qualities of the property through lots of planting of native prairie, etc. Our land does produce a lot of wildlife, as well as cattle and honeybees and honey. So it's an active use, and I am always delighted when I see a coyote come through the place. I'm not aware of any livestock losses in our neighborhood. We live in an area where because it's there is some protected property. The there is a pretty good natural balance. We have pretty much the full spectrum of animals there, all the way from mice and voles to coyotes, and once in a while a mountain lion walks through. But I think that's as it should be. I think that's a healthy ecosystem. It's an unusual situation in an area and in a state where a common attitude is that we should exterminate the top predators. We all know, those of us who have observed over the years, and I've lived my entire life in rural areas, we know that if you exterminate the predators, then the pest species thrive. I've been watching this for 68 years now. We do graze cattle in our grasslands. A neighbor of ours just across the fence has dragged out an old pickup camper and set it up on top of the highest hill. And during deer season, he sits up there and gets his buck. Lately, he has permitted a young man who doesn't live in the neighborhood to bring his electronic call and sit up there and try to call in coyotes and shoot them. If this bill passes, then it will be legal for him to sit up on that hilltop with a high-powered rifle and a light and an electronic call, not only call in and attempt to exterminate all the coyotes that are keeping our ecosystem in balance, but also endanger us, who live about 800 feet from this hilltop, and the livestock that are grazing both on his property and on mine. I think it's a dangerous bill, besides being wrong-headed in terms of wildlife conservation. I would ask you to vote no to kill this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson, for joining us today. Further opponent testimony. Further opponents? Further opponents? Further opponents? Seeing none, I'll move to committee questions. Oh, sorry about that. You're absolutely right. You are granted a rebuttal, and you may take it from your chair.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for letting me stay back here just to take care of the rebuttal and obviously get to questions that we look forward to. Well, I would just remind the committee that the bill you have before you is here for a purpose, and the reason is to have, as I mentioned, another tool in the toolbox for our, in this case, landowners out there. There may not be an issue with coyotes from time to time, but when they do become an issue, you know, it isn't really capable for us to be able to pass a bill and change things and deal with it when there is a severe problem. And so, obviously, we have to have that respect out there for the landowners and how they will choose to not only get along with their neighbors, but also how they would choose to manage the property that they own. And if some choose to have a safe haven for predators, more power to them. But if there happens to be neighbors to them that don't like the fact that that we know that wildlife doesn't abide by fences, they don't abide by any sort of rules and regulations, they just go where they want to go. At least this would give those neighbors an opportunity to be involved. As far as what we're going to change, the night vision is kind of a neat concept, especially to think that other states are able to utilize that technology. It's something that's proven and obviously is more affordable. As far as the size of the weapon, I know when I was growing up, and some of you probably were taught that as well, I know when I first started to shoot the .22, my dad would always remind me, he'd say, "All right, now just remember, this is a rifle, not a shotgun. It's going to go some distance." Well, current status quo already allows the .22, and we know that they can travel a distance. As far as increasing the range on this, think of it more from the standpoint that we want to be able to have a tool that is obviously more powerful to not just wound those coyotes, but obviously take them down. And so if we're going to debate range, I think we could debate range for a long time, because we're talking about these rifles, and they do travel a distance, and that's already the case. And so I would ask that you think back to the opportunities for our landowners and give your blessing to a new concept here that if you look in the bill, it's already allowed by the staff of Game Fish and Parks. On the and talking to Mr. Keyser, he said that their ADC, Animal Damage Control staff, already uses night vision if they want to. And so this would allow the landowners to partner with them to take out the coyotes. I welcome your questions and, again, urge your support. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Fergs. At this time, then, we'll move now to questions of the committee. Senator Broden.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I would direct this question to Senator Fergs, and you can redirect it as you wish. But, the changes contained in the amendment seem more dramatic than the original bill. I don't know how long it's been on the books, the regulation limiting use of shotguns and .22 long rifles at night. And that's always been pretty clear, and I think most everybody in my neck of the woods understood that, and they understood the reason. .22 long rifle and shotguns are good for up close and personal, and the obvious reasons at night is because they don't want bullets traveling a long distance. So the change you present in the amendments, going to 1,750 foot-pounds of energy, I guess my question is, if you look at the ballistics charts, and anybody that reloads ammunition like I do understand, those ballistics, but at 1,750, you're loading a .22 250 or .220 Swift at, speeds getting close to 4,000 feet per second. And 4,000 feet per second is fast. And that's a lot of energy and a lot of distance. And I guess I'm almost confused from the outset that you place a restriction of, because once you get to 1,750 foot-pounds of energy, there's really no reason to even have that language in there. Leave it wide open. Because you get to that point, you've almost included any caliber. I have a 7mm mag. I could load it down to, I'm getting to the question, but I want to understand. I can load a 7mm magnum down to less than 1,750 foot-pounds of energy. So, it just seems like an arbitrary number that really doesn't accomplish anything. So why not just eliminate it and leave it wide open? Because if you're hunting coyotes, just from a common sense standpoint, you're going to be using the smaller, you're going to be using varmint rifles like the .22-250 and .220 Swift regardless. So it seems to me that if you're going to amend it to allow for that kind of firearm, you would be better off to just eliminate the statute and not make any reference to foot-pounds of energy.
Would you like to answer that question, Senator Fergs?
Yeah, well, definitely. And that's the beauty of having one bill on the agenda and being early in session. And I do welcome the comments from Senator Roden. I would say, first off, something that I do want to address, current practice, and that's what happens in my country, and I'm sure it happens in the country for various legislators on this committee. You'll talk to folks that are out there that do the moonlight side of things. I think the last time we had a real clear night for moonlight with a little bit of snow was back even maybe into December, but there are times when moonlight works. And in that case, there isn't any restriction. And so I would welcome as friendly to this amendment if we just didn't have any limit on what's allowed, obviously knowing that each person would have to choose what they're most comfortable with and utilize that opportunity. The main thing is to get something more than 22, because we know that we're limited from the 22 side of things, and that's why we would like to see a change in that area. But anyways, the point is that when it's moonlight, they can use whatever weapon they so choose. And I stand to be corrected if the department wants to correct anything there, but this would be obviously for artificial light and night vision where we would want to make these changes for the landowners.
Further questions from the committee? Further questions from the committee?
Yeah.
Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question, I think, as well for Senator Frakes. As I'm reading through this now, I'm a little confused, which centers around when you start this thing off, it says at the beginning, no person may use this. Then it gets down and says, however, person may use a handheld light to take raccoons, and after they've been treated, it looks like they have to be treated before you can shoot it, one. And number two, it looks like only a landowner or occupant and one guest can actually use the light, because you've deleted 1 through 24 on page 2. So is that the intent?
Senator Frerichs.
And yes, Senator, the intent for this is for the landowners and a guest. And so we've taken any language in reference to any person age 16 or older. And as far as raccoons, I'm not seeing your, let's see, maybe that.
Yes, first page.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, yeah. I mean, we're not changing anything there as far as that's taking the raccoons. Current. That's current practice, okay. Yes. And obviously the target on this is more coyote, but it does have an effect on raccoons, skunks, other type of I think they're considered varmints, whereas coyote is considered predator, however it may be.
Senator Rampelberg, further?
No.
Further question, Senator Umdahl.
Yeah, Senator Frerichs, I just have a problem. I guess you had me until you started talking about this extra foot-pounds of energy going into a rifle. I really have some concerns for that, and also the noise in an urban area or an urbanized area with somebody shooting off a gun. I look at the distance traveled. I guess I'm still a little confused. How far are you saying this foot-pounds of energy would travel with a slug? I know it measures. It's a difference, I guess, in the grain, but what would that travel at?
Senator Frerichs?
Well, Madam Chair, I am not an expert on distance of what we're looking at here, so I would yield. I can't answer that question, Senator, unless you have someone else you want to direct it to. I wouldn't be able to tell you the distance.
Game Fish and Parks, do you want to answer?
Madam Chair.
I bet you Mr. Senator Roden would.
Well, I would defer to anybody that knows better than me, but doing a lot of reloading, the answer is depending on the weight of the bullet and the velocity, but safe to say miles.
Two, it looks three, like a concurrence miles. In the audience with Game Fish and Parks, so... Miles is what the answer is. Senator Umdahl, further questions from you? Is that further clarification?
Well, I just make a statement that I think if you want to do away with even the caliber of a gun, I would definitely oppose it. But you had me until you start increasing the foot-pounds.
We'll wait for discussion. I'll just stay in questions right now. Questions of the committee. Senator Roden.
Madam Chair, I would have a question for
Emmett.
The Game Fish and Parks.
Emmett Kieser, Game Fish and Parks.
I think in this discussion, I think Senator Frerichs for pointing something out, and I thought it'd be worthwhile, given the way the discussion's going, for you to clarify that, because it hadn't occurred to me until Senator Frerichs mentioned the fact, and I think he's correct, but I'd ask you to comment to clarify that under current law, it is legal to use these high-power rifles as long as you're not using a spotlight at night. And so if you would please clarify that.
Mr. Kieser.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair. Senator Roden, you are correct, and Senator Frerichs was correct, that is allowable, and it is fairly effective. Any caliber is allowed at, if you're shooting at moonlight, as long as you're not using a spotlight or a night vision device.
Follow-up, Senator Roden.
So in perspective, this puts more of a restriction, albeit maybe somewhat ineffective, but it does put a restriction on what you can use with a spotlight at night relative to where we're at right now using moonlight on a moonlight night for night hunting.
Mr. Kieser.
Madam Chair, yes, it would, and the restriction, of course, would be just a private landowner and a guest, and that certainly would restrict it further.
Senator Valley.
I apologize for being late. So could you tell me, are we, is this amendment to be considered part of the bill? Is that how it was offered? So that we're discussing both that we're discussing the bill and
yes,
and this is a friendly amendment that you have made to it and would like to see added. Would that be correct?
Yes, this is a friendly amendment proposed by Senator Frerichs, and we have made a motion. There's been a second, so we're at discussion of the bill and the amendment.
Okay, we're discussing both at this time. Okay.
Questions, Senator Valley?
Just so that I've got it straight in my mind, does this allow... I see where it was just landowner, but then I'm in trying to read this. This amendment, which I hadn't seen, does that change that anyway? Is this just for the landowner and his guest or her guest?
Yes.
Yes. Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, Senator Valley, just for the landowner and the guest, and does include the language of night vision and increases the size of. Gun that can be used greater than a 22.
Thank you.
Senator Furt or Senator Valley, follow up. Further questions? Further questions of the committee? Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have one for Mr. Keiser.
Mr. Keiser.
Emmett, from what I understood there from Senator Farrick's comments, that some of your predator damage control individuals have used a night vision then for taking coyotes?
Mr. Keiser, please
Madam Chair,
clarify.
Mm-hmm. We certainly do. We utilize spotlights, and we have a few pieces of night vision equipment out there that our staff use. Oftentimes, they'll use them for primarily in taking really, really difficult coyotes where we have those kinds of situations. We also use those night vision devices for taking beaver on some dams in certain situations as well.
Follow up, Senator Lucas.
If they had any problems then with their bullets getting into, going past the target and hitting personal property.
Mr. Keiser.
Madam Chair, the staff, of course, trying to exercise all good due caution, and certainly we encourage all hunters to exercise the same. Most of the time, the staff are well aware of their surroundings and the situation there within proximity to where they're hunting and conducting their business. They'll work very closely, of course, with the landowners to ensure that their cattle are held in confinement or buildings, anywhere near there. They're well aware of that. So,
yep. Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It'd be safe to say, though, that the night vision definitely enhances their ability to see livestock or buildings beyond their target, correct?
Mr. Keiser?
Madam Chair, it certainly would. And those of you that have been out and perhaps used a light at night or even shined your headlights into the darkness, there's a cutoff point at which anything beyond that is black. Night vision devices still, you can see much better in those distances beyond. So it is, a more effective type of light gathering device. So.
Further questions of the committee? Further questions? Further questions? Seeing none then, thank you, Mr. Keiser. Further questions? Seeing none, I'll move to committee discussion and or action. We do have an amendment before us. At this time, a motion with the amendment. Further
Madam
discussion.
Chair. Madam Chair.
Senator Frerichs.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And I would just ask that if, for your little bit of input here, not only from the committee, but also for what the feelings are of folks. I mean, from my standpoint, I would like to see us make sure that this doesn't limit in the wrong way, but try to mirror our statutes as far as what's allowed right now with moonlight. And so I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility that either we hold off and bring this bill back, defer it a little bit, but I'm not sure what the calendar looks like. I haven't seen what we have on our list for other ones to accomplish, but I also would say that we probably can make a simple enough change to the current amendment that would overstrike the 22 caliber rimfire cartridge length reference or any reference to the type of gun that is allowed and not include what's in the amendment. So I guess I'm just asking for direction, but at the same time, I realize we're in a live committee. Thank you.
Senator Roden.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have an amendment pending, and with that in mind, I would make a substitute motion that we defer action on Senate Bill 104.
There's been a deferral action motion by Senator Roden, and there's been a second by Senator Otten. Further comments on the deferral action defer a motion. Further comments? At this time, then, Senator Lucas.
Well, just for discussion on possible amendment, it seems, maybe I'm wrong here, but it seems like there's more support from the committee members if we can limit it to the artificial light and get rid of, or the night vision and get away from the spotlighting. Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm hearing, or am I mistaken?
Further discussion?
Or the caliber that you're concerned about then.
Okay. Senator Valley.
I agree with Senator Roden's motion. I've always said it's best to get it as best as you can get it out of committee before you send it down to the floor. So let's, if and I think we have the time, let's work on it, get it back, defer it, get it so that it's as best possible. Thank you.
Comments from the chair. Again, we do have plenty of time. We only have three bills for the calendar, and that's it. We don't even have any other bills assigned to us yet, so we have plenty of time. Unlike last year, you guys worked hard last year, so we're going to take a break this year. So at this time, the chair is going to encourage you to defer this, defer a motion, and in favor of that, and then we'll take action further down the road when they feel more comfortable. The motion before you is a deferral action. All those in favor of the deferral action signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 104 has been deferred. That is it, ladies and gentlemen, on the agenda. We do have three bills, House Bill 1012, 1014, and 1015, possibly for the Thursday agenda. And they're from the Agricultural Department, so pretty simple bills, it looks like. And then we'll just wait to see what Senate Bill 104 comes up with. So at this time, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Senator Ferrix and seconded by Senator Lucas. All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Ag so adjourned.